One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. There's a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drossbeck. Today is Tuesday when I'm filming this. It is the perfect day out in New York right now. I had like such a shit day yesterday, so I made it my mission to make sure I spend some time outside today. So I've already been on two walks, and I took myself out to lunch. I went to a ramen spot nearby that has like individual booths that you sit at, so you don't have to talk to anybody. It's like the perfect spot to go on like a solo lunch date. So I just went there and I was listening to some podcasts and just hanging out, which was nice. Enjoyed the neighborhood, enjoyed the weather, trying to pick myself back up after kind of just a sad and anxious day. I don't know. My anxiety's been pretty intense the last few days. I won't even say the last week because it does feel like it came on pretty suddenly and got really bad. And now I'm slowly coming down off of like the 3-4 days of anxiety that I was dealing with. My anxiety feels so, it's so physical for me. Like when I am in like a phase like that where I'm just like so anxious, number one, I'm walking around with a pit in my stomach 24/7 that makes it so that I am unable to do anything. Yesterday, I couldn't even tell you what I did. I don't know what I did all day. It was nothing that I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't completing tasks, but I also wasn't relaxing because I felt sick to my stomach all fucking day. It's like when I get anxious like that, I feel like all I can do is like try to numb my brain and turn it off because I don't know. There's nothing productive. Sometimes it feels like there's nothing productive I can do because I can rationally know that some of my anxieties and those thoughts that are like swirling around in my head are not, they're not actual problems and they're not things that I need to like dwell on or get caught up in. I just need to wait for the feeling to pass. And part of that for me is just like trying to distract myself from the way that my stomach feels because there's just not much I can do about it. I just have to like sleep it off, but sometimes it'll take a few days for the feeling to go away. I don't even know. Like if to someone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, it's probably like, what? You just have a weird feeling in your gut that you have to wait several days for it to go away and you don't even really know what's triggering it? Like, yeah, kind of. Usually I know what it's going back to, but it's not things that I have the ability to change immediately. So it's like I can't make it go away. I can't change it. It's just like the feeling is here. The situation is what it is. And yeah, I don't know. It's just been like a very anxious few days for me. I also get so tense in periods like this. So I wake up like sore head to toe as if I've just worked out over the weekend, which I did nothing of the sort. So I'm feeling a little tired today, I'll be honest. after I record this podcast, I'm going to sit on this couch and play Toontown because I just need a little bit of joy in my life. You know, I need a little, I just need to take care of my heart today. The pit of my stomach's definitely feeling better today than it did yesterday, but you know, we're on the incline, but it's still, we're not at 100% yet. I'll put myself at like 72 today. Not bad. 72 is not the worst place to be, but it's not 100, I'll tell you that. I think I've connected to my anxiety. I feel like I've had a few days this week where I just have felt a little forgotten, underappreciated, just small and not really seen or understood. And that's fine. I've definitely been struggling with a little bit of loneliness. Yeah, it'll pass. It's nobody's fault. I don't know. I felt like that video of that lady in the car from all those years ago where she's like, I just want to be appreciated. You know her? That's what I felt like this week. And I know that I am appreciated. I just think that sometimes when you are someone that is quite confident, independent, and people know that I don't need to hear those things, or they know that I already know them, they just don't tell me, you know? It's like, I think people assume that I already know, which I do. I do already know. I'm great, you know? I do know that. It's just nice to hear it from other people. And I think sometimes people don't tell me what they think about me or how I make them feel, or they just assume that I've sort of heard it all. It'll pass. Just give me a day or two and I will bounce back, and I will journal on it, and I will talk to my therapist about it, and I will pull some fucking oracle cards on it, and I'll be good. But yeah, I need some love notes and some forehead kisses right now, okay? I need everyone to tell me everything they've ever felt about me, ever. Because I want to know. Anyways, in this time of needing to numb my brain and focus on other things, I have finished watching Love is Blind, and I have more thoughts that I need to talk about on this fucking podcast. I don't even really like Love is Blind. I don't like the premise. I don't really like most Netflix like dating and whatever type shows. Too Hot to Handle is like the worst show ever to me. And I don't really like Love is Blind either. I'll be honest. I don't. But I don't know. I got sucked in. I watched the whole thing. I was playing Toontown while I was watching the show. So I was always like one foot in, one foot out, one eye on my laptop, the other on the TV. So I definitely miss a lot when I'm doing it like that. But I don't know. I'm not the biggest Love is Blind fan, but I still watch the whole thing. So let's talk about it, right? Because I love being in these random stranger reality TV stars businesses. So the last time that I talked to you guys about this, I was only to the part where they had just gotten to the apartment part of the show. So I hadn't seen the apartment party that they had with all of the couples where they all reconnected after, you know, the pods and the honeymoon time and whatever, which is when like the Stacey, Izzy, Johnny, Chris stuff happens, which I don't really give a fuck about, to be honest. I think that Stacey is just a textbook bully. But I feel pretty neutral. Here's the thing. I don't like any of these people. So I don't feel particularly passionately about any of them receiving like justice in this situation, or like one person being right and knowing they're right, the other person really being put in their place in the wrong, because I just find them all a little fucking annoying. So, but Stacey is just like a textbook bully. Like, what was it? Uche was talking about the Lydia, Aaliyah situation, and Johnny is just reacting to the story, and Stacey's like, "Are you gonna fix your face?" And I was like, "What? What was that for?" Just because she's like pissed at Johnny for other reasons, because Johnny was talking smack about Stacey while they were in the pods. Like once Izzy picked Stacey instead of Johnny, and Johnny was like, "Oh, they're not gonna be good together. Like, XYZ is gonna happen. If he wants to take the easy route, whatever." Which is like just bitterness talking. She wasn't picked, so she went back to the pods and she had to make her feel better about herself by putting Stacey down, which is not a good look, right? But I'm willing to chalk it up to like just bitterness and like a lot of emotions coming out, being in captivity with, you know, the guy you're dating's dating multiple other women and you're all just stuck here on top of each other. And if you don't like her, it is what it is. But then it's like a week or two later, they're at an apartment, you know, rooftop party. Uche's talking about his situation. And Stacey's like starting beef with Johnny for why? Like it had nothing to do with them. And she randomly starts beefing with her. And also I'm like, why do you care about her? Like, you won, so to say. You got the guy. You're with Izzy. She's not. You don't really need to say anything to her because she looks bitter right now. And if you would just mind your own fucking business and pay her no mind, she would look like the bad one in this dynamic. But because you got the guy and you're still choosing to antagonize her and be like, what are you gonna fix your face? You're just a shit person. Shit, you were shit in the pods and you're shit in real life and just shit recognize shit or whatever the fuck she said when they were sitting on the couches after. Because she's doing that, it makes her just look like a textbook bully or like she's trying to prove that she really was the better choice for Izzy. Like there's some insecurity there that lingers. So I don't know. I just find them all a little embarrassing. When adults act like this, I'm like, what is going on? Because sometimes I'm like, okay, I get when one or two adults act like this. And I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt and be like, they're in a really weird situation. This is reality TV. This is totally outside of the norm for them. And I'll like chalk it up to it being a really emotional thing. But when so many adults are acting like this, I'm like, are you guys just like this? Because this is crazy. Just mind your own fucking business. I don't know. To me, it just sincerely feels so easy. You got the guy. You got what you wanted. You're with him. You're fucking engaged. Why are you paying attention to the other girl that he rejected that is currently dating somebody else? Who gives a fuck about her? Why does it matter? So that whole thing just felt exhausting to me. And I don't understand why it was such a big deal. I wanted all of them off my screen immediately. Also, I felt like the Johnny stuff was totally blown out of proportion. Like people were going on and on about how Johnny said one thing to Izzy and another thing to Chris. And maybe she did, right? I'm not inside her brain, but when I was listening to her talk, it made sense to me what she was saying. And that was because when she was talking, I felt like she was using the word safe to mean two different things. You know, she's dating two guys at the same time. This is kind of a weird situation. But in my head, she was using the word safe twice, but in two different ways. But it, because it's the same word, it made her look like she was saying just like flip-flopping to both of them. But to me, she was saying to one of them being like, I want to pick you because this would be a challenge. And the other guy is the safe pick, safe meaning non-toxic. And then to the other guy, she's saying, I want to pick you because I want to disrupt my usual dating habits of picking men like him, even though it would be the safe pick because I know exactly the way that it would go. So safe meaning non-toxic and then safe meaning my usual. And in my head, she was just using the word safe in two different ways in two different conversations. But when they go back to the pods and they're like regurgitating what she said to them, it does sound very similar. But in my head, it was, I don't know, based on what she said and like the confessionals and shit, I interpreted it differently. maybe I am being way too fucking generous right now, but that's how I took it. That was how I personally perceived it. Either way, I think it is just sort of like an issue of semantics. I don't think it was that big of a deal. It was really obvious that she would have rather been with Izzy. So it didn't really matter what was said to who or what exactly the words were. It's all just fucking semantics. She clearly wanted Izzy more than she wanted Chris. That's it. And I'm not even trying to run defense for Johnny right now because I felt completely neutral about her the entire time. I'm telling you, I didn't like anybody on this season. There was nobody that I was like, oh, I'm rooting for you. I think you're cool. Zero people. Zero, babe. I think all of these people need to be single. So anyways, let me get to the weddings section of the show. And we're having, there's two weddings happening. Milton and Lydia and Izzy and Stacey. I almost knew how this was going to go. I didn't think either of them were going to get married. In my head, I was like, neither of them are going to get married because this is insane. They're both horrible matches. Neither of these couples make any sort of sense. All of these people need to be single and they need extensive therapy. I wasn't rooting for either of them. I was like, this makes no sense. I don't think that either of these couples are going to go through. And in my head, I felt like Izzy was going to say yes, and I felt like Lydia was going to say yes, but I thought Milton was going to cut it off and Stacey was going to cut it off. I was right about one of them. At the altar, Izzy says, I do. And Stacey says, I don't. And then Milton and Lydia, who I've got so much to say about both of them. First of all, everyone on the internet being like, Milton is the only good person this season. Like, he's so mature. He's so much, like, older than what he actually is emotionally. And every time I saw people say shit like that, I'm like, are we watching the same show? Are we? Because I feel like we're not. What the fuck are you guys on about? I was like, and you know what? I would even agree that Milton's the best person on this season, not because he necessarily deserves that title, but because everyone else is so horrible. He just, like, because he's totally middle of the road, he appears fantastic. He's not super mature. I actually think that he comes off much younger than he is. I perceive him the same way I would perceive, like, a 20-year-old. And I don't think there's any universe where that man is ready to get married, personally. I don't know why he is. Fall is here and I'm having the absolute time of my life wearing all of my favorite clothes and enjoying the perfect fall weather. I just feel happiest this time of year. The fashion is the absolute best and I've been renting so many beautiful new pieces over on Nuuly. My closet is just overflowing with inspiration right now. If you've never heard of them, Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service where for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. Nuuly carries thousands of styles from hundreds of different brands. So if you've had your eye on a sweater from Anthropologie or a dress from Selkie, now you can try it on for a month, see if you'll get good use out of it, and put it on a little test run before making the purchase. Nuuly offers sizes up to a 5X, including some petite and maternity sizing as well. And on top of the fact that it is a super fun way to spice up your wardrobe, bring in some new pieces without breaking the bank, if you happen to fall in love with any of the pieces that you rent at the end of the 30 days, you can decide to buy any of those pieces for a discounted price. There are no late fees, damage fees, or fees to stop or cancel your service. So if a button pops up your sweater, if a strap breaks, don't worry about it at all. They're not going to charge you any fees for something like that. On top of that, they have fast free shipping and a state-of-the-art laundering facility. So if you get a stain on one of your items, you don't have to worry about that either. You just send it on back to Nuuly at the end of the month and they will take care of it for you. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using code MADDIE20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code MADDIE20 to sign up and get $20 off your first month. Again, that's Nuuly.com, Nuuly, Nuuly with two U's, and use code MADDIE20 for $20 off your first month of Nuuly. I actually don't even have that much to say about Milton besides the fact that I don't think that he was ready to get married. Who I do have a lot more to say about is Lydia, because I think she is so toxic. And I think that she would have married absolutely anybody. I don't think it mattered who it was. I don't think it mattered what the connection was or anything. I think that she just wanted to be married. And I think that she could convince herself that she was in love with just about anybody. And I know that's harsh, but it's the truth. And you know what? I have a lot of empathy for her, because I think a lot of people can relate to a lot of what she talked about this season when she, I don't even remember who this was, but there was a guy that she was interested in earlier on in the season in the pods, and he rejected her still in the pods and was like, I'm more interested in my connection with other people. I forget who this was. Was it Izzy? I don't remember. But when Lydia got rejected, I thought her response to that rejection was really inappropriate. But then she would go back to the pods and you would hear her talk more about how she felt. And it was like, you know, she's echoing these sentiments of feeling just exhausted with the process of dating and opening yourself up to someone just for the same thing to happen. And I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling. So you have a moment where you feel bad for her because you're like, I hear what she's saying and I get that. That does hurt. That does suck. But I sometimes think that we need to know our audience with these things. And so when she gets rejected in the pods, so they haven't met face to face yet. They've known each other for, you know, anywhere between like 2 to 4 days at this point. And when she gets rejected by this person that is still a stranger, like, let's be fucking real. That is a stranger. You don't know them. You've never met them face to face. You have no idea what they're like, what their life is like, any of that. You know very little about this person. And you've attached yourself. It just reads as so insecure to me to know someone so little. This person is really a stranger. They reject you and your reaction is to cry and dump your whole dating history and life story on them and let them know like why them rejecting you is like crushing you and making you feel so hopeless about love and dating when you've known them for like mere days at this point. That is wildly inappropriate. So she gets rejected by this guy who is still a stranger. My problem is not that she was feeling upset about it. I think it's a valid thing to be upset about. I think that would trigger a lot of people to be like, oh my God, why is dating like this? This cycle is so exhausting. I feel so hopeless, whatever. A lot of people have that reaction after being rejected. That's fucking normal. The troubling part for me is unloading that on the person, on the stranger. Emphasis on stranger. That rejected you. This isn't someone that you've been dating and that you have a relationship with where it would make sense that you talk through a breakup. You're not dating. This is a stranger that you've been talking to behind a wall for like 2 days. It's just like not appropriate to unload that on them. It's fine that you feel hurt and that this is triggering things for you and bringing it up. What you should have done is talked about it with your friends. Wait until you get back to the pods and then you can open up and talk through all of what you're feeling with people that you're friends with. Even the pods isn't like great because none of these people are like your best friends that really understand your dating history and why this would impact you. But it, you know, it is what it is. In the real life, that's what you would do. You get rejected in the early stages of dating. You say, thanks for letting me know. Hope you find what you're looking for. And then you go to your friends and you can cry and have your moment of disappointment and sadness and feeling frustrated and hopeless and all of that. That's fine. What's not fine is taking this stranger and trying to like guilt trip him and make him feel bad by trauma dumping your entire dating history on him when he just is saying like, I have better connections with other people and you are a stranger. So from that point forward, I was like, I feel like Lydia has got some reflection work to do. She reads as very insecure. She reads as someone that just wants to find any relationship, not the right one. I think she reads as someone that really struggles with being alone and struggles with seeing her worth and her value when she doesn't have a man to fixate on, which is just very troubling to me. I see people like this and I get so stressed out secondhand. Which really, watching this show while I was already so anxious made it 10 times worse, because I'm like, these people are entering marriages like this. And it's, yeah, it's, that's a lot. That's so stressful to me. So anyways, Milton and Lydia ended up getting married, which is insane. Get to the reunion. They are somehow still together a year and a half later, which is defying the odds to me. I wish them well. I do. I don't think they should have gotten married, but I hope it all goes well. I guess. Cheers. I don't know. The reunion was whatever to me. There were two wild parts about the reunion that I would just like to talk about. Number one, when they bring Chris and Johnny on and they're like, Chris and Johnny, are you guys still dating? And they're like, no, we're not. And it comes out that Chris and Johnny were together, and then Chris just started dating someone else. Never broke up with Johnny, never ended it, just cheated on her and ghosted her. Cheated on her and just said, I have a new girlfriend now. Fuck this Johnny girl, whoever the fuck she is. I was like, what a wild thing to do, and then to do knowing that this is going to get brought up on a reality TV show. Like, if you're going to be the worst person ever, if you're going to be the worst person alive, at least do it after the show. You know what I mean? Like, after the whole thing is done, reunion is done, you know it'll never come up again. You know you're going to have to film a reunion with this girl. Were you not thinking? Like, not the cheaters have any foresight or like ability to reflect and think and analyze themselves at all, but like, what are you doing, Bibes? What is going on? And he's just sitting there like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I found someone that I really love and we live together now, and I'm sorry if that's hard for you to hear, but like, it needed to happen. Chris, I hate to tell you this, but karma's fucking coming for you, brother. You're not going to get away with this. You're not gonna. Like, I'm sorry. I'm happy to hear it's all fucking sunshine and roses right now, but I'm telling you behave like that, it's going to come back around. You can't cheat on someone and then ghost them. You are fucked up for that. That's crazy. And it was really upsetting to me that Johnny was sitting there being buddy-buddy with him, being like, yeah, it's fine, hee-hee. Like, they'd, like, forgiven each other and moved on and were friends now. I was sitting here the whole time like, Johnny, stand up for yourself a little bit. This is insane. That is insane that someone treated you like that. And you're like, crazy, this guy over here. He's so weird and wild, this one. I love him. That's my little buddy, Chris. I was like, this is fucked up. This is super fucked up. And Vanessa was like, he kept saying that he loved Johnny while he was talking through his explanation as well, which was super fucked up. He's sitting there being like, you know, like, I loved her. Shut up. Vanessa's like, do you cheat on someone you love though? And he goes, apparently yes. I can't, dude. I actually fucking can't. Okay. And then the last thing that I'll say about Love is Blind was when they brought JP and Taylor out and they start talking about, you know, the whole he's super quiet and awkward thing and the makeup comment and whatever. And Nick Lachey, love that guy, love Nick Lachey. Nick Lachey gives JP the most generous benefit of the doubt on the face of the planet. And he was like, you know, I feel like maybe you just put your foot in your mouth a little bit, JP. It seemed like you were just trying to say that you thought that she looked beautiful without makeup, but instead you were like, you know, I saw you with makeup and I was so turned off. Like, he was like, Nick Lachey was giving JP the extreme benefit of the doubt that he was like, you're just really awkward and weird and didn't know what to say. You put your foot in your mouth. What you meant to say was you look so beautiful without makeup on, correct? And JP was like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I meant to say. No more than 2 seconds later, he repeats a second time that he just thought it was fake. He just saw the makeup and he was turned off and thought it was fake. And I was like, Nick, don't you ever give that man the benefit of the doubt ever again. He may be awkward and weird, but he is also a sexist. He can be both. Sorry. Like, this guy is a weirdo. He is, for more reasons than one. I'm all for awkward, weird guys, for sure. Awkward, weird guys that are also a little bit misogynistic and dress head to toe in USA flags. That's going to be a no for me. You know, it's not the awkward and weird that makes him the worst. Unfortunately. So anyways, that was Love is Blind season 5. I guess I will keep watching Love is Blind. I don't know. I kind of hate this show. And I hate everyone on it. But here we are. I just need Love Island to come back. My life is lived, you know, when Love Island is airing and when Love Island is not airing. Those are the two seasons of my life. When I'm alive and when I'm hibernating, when I'm almost dead, you know, when I need to be revived by the Brits. But we've got, you know, a little appetizer with the Peacock series that's happening. We've got Love Island Games that airs on Peacock starting first week of November, I believe. And then we've got the regular Love Island UK winter season happening in January, which I think is also going to be an All-Stars season. We've got Love Island Games, which is like old cast members being brought back from both UK and US. I don't really understand what Love Island Games is. So it's old cast members, but they're being brought to do something different. I don't know. Is it still a dating show? I don't know. This whole thing's been very confusing to me. Their promo for both of these shows has been baffling because they're both All-Star seasons, technically. They're both bringing back old cast members, but one of them is Love Island Games and the other one is like the regular Love Island season that's Love Island All-Stars. So I don't know what the fuck Love Island Games is, but we're going to find out. And hopefully it's entertaining so that we can, you know, hold ourselves over until Love Island winter comes. And that's where the real meat is. That's where our real meat and potatoes full 6-course dinner is going to be, baby. I'm so excited to get back in there with the Brits. You've got no fucking idea, babes. That sounded a little Australian. It's okay, though. All right, anyways, before I wrap up this episode, let's get into a few submissions. If you didn't know, there is a submission box for this show where you can chime in. Let me know what's going on in your life, what the drama is, what the juice is. If you want to submit an Am I the Asshole? Tell me about anything that's going on in your life, anything that you're thinking about, reflecting on, journaling about. I want to know. I want to hear about it. Anything you want to bring to the sleepover, we'll stay at the sleepover. First up, someone says, "Hello, Maddie. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. It has been one of the resources I've used to get more in touch with my emotions and to finally be honest with myself about wanting to experience romantic love. I'm 26 and I've been dating a guy for 3 months now. I've never been in a relationship before, so it's all very new for me, and I'm always wondering if I'm asking for too much or not asking for enough. There's a lot of things I love about the guy I'm dating, such as the fact that he's not intimidated at all by my professional success. He seems to be really interested in getting to know me, always remembers what I tell him about myself down to the small details, seems to really value my opinions, and always makes an effort to pleasure me in bed. However, he's not great at organizing dates. When we first started seeing each other, he would be like, 'Do you want to hang out next Wednesday?' And then it would be up to me to figure out something we could do. I told him that it was bothering me, and he made an effort to organize proper dates for around a month. All the dates he came up with were actually pretty great, and I told him, but now he seems to be going back to his previous behavior. I asked a friend for advice, and she thinks that if he was really interested in me, he would gladly organize dates without me having to ask him, and that I'm settling just because I want to be in a relationship. What do you think?" I think your friend is being a little bit aggressive in that response. This guy sounds great. Everything you listed off sounds fantastic. He seems to be very into you. He pays attention. He remembers little things. He values your opinions. He's, you know, he pays attention and prioritizes you in bed. And it's not even that he doesn't put in effort to see you. He's just not good at organizing the little details about dates. He can, you know, put in effort to be like, "Hey, do you want to do something Wednesday night? Do you want to whatever?" You know, it's not that he's bad at planning in like a overall way. It's not like he's neglecting you or not spending time with you. It's just that he wasn't putting in a lot of effort or like thoughtfulness to the dates themselves, which I think a lot of people are not good at that. I've talked before about how I'm absolutely a planner, and there are, you know, I'm friends with some other people who are planners, and I'm friends with a lot of people that are not planners. And I think it's just like you either are or you aren't. And I think a lot of people can be pushed to being better, but at the end of the day, I think some people just care less about that kind of stuff. And they are more of like a last minute planner or just like a wing it kind of person. But I get wanting someone to put in more effort and to plan. As someone who plans, I would love if other people would plan. You know, I get so thrilled when other people are the ones planning and it's not me. Because although I love planning, I also love being planned for, because it feels like a love language when I do it to other people, when I am putting an effort to be thoughtful and planning and making things special for other people. That is me showing that I love them. So it does feel good when it's done back to me, because it just, it feels like I'm being shown love, because that's also how I show love to other people. And it just feels nice to have that reciprocated. So I think that you bringing it up and asking him, telling him like, hey, I'd really appreciate if you were more thoughtful and planned out these dates more. That's great that you brought that up with him and you told him that. And he seems to listen, and he did it for a month. And I don't know when you're writing this, how long it's been since he stopped doing it, if it's been like a week or if it's been like another month and it just hasn't happened anymore. But I think that like when you're getting deeper into a relationship and you're settling in with each other, you're going to get more and more comfortable with each other to the point where like not every time you hang out, not every time you go out, it needs to be a big to do. And maybe it's not that serious. You know, maybe he just had like a really chaotic week and he didn't have time to plan something special, and it just turned into like a casual hanging out, making dinner at home, whatever. I also think that it can go back and forth, right? At least that's how I would want it to be in a relationship. Like I plan, you plan, you plan, I plan, and we just go back and forth like that. I don't think it's that big of a deal. He sounds like a great guy. If your only criticism of him is that he's not great at planning dates, I think that, you know, we got to pick and choose what are like non-negotiables for us. And this guy seems like he's got everything. It's just this one thing that he seems pretty open to working on. I don't think there's anything wrong with this guy at all. Also, like, when someone is open to working on something, that doesn't necessarily mean that like it switches and he's great at planning dates and it's just always going to be consistent forever and there'll never be a week where he doesn't plan one or whatever. I think it's normal and reasonable that there would be weeks where maybe he doesn't plan a super thoughtful date, and that doesn't mean anything deeper than maybe he was busy, you know? But also, like, this doesn't have to be a one-off conversation. It doesn't have to be a one-off thing where you tell him that you would really appreciate if he put in, you know, more time and thoughtfulness to planning dates, and then we never speak about it again. It can be an ongoing conversation if you want to bring it up again and just say like, hey, you know, that those dates that you took me on last month that were super thoughtful and planned out, that made me feel really loved and listened to, and I would love if we could, you know, make a habit of doing stuff like that and come up with something that works. Maybe you switch off every week. You go on, you know, one like planned date, one extravagant date. One week he plans, the next week you plan. Maybe it can become like a more regimented thing. I don't know, whatever works for you, right? But I don't think it's a big deal personally. This guy sounds awesome, and I think your friend telling you that, I don't know, this is an example of when I think the phrase "if he wanted to, he would" is so fucking reductive. Because I talked about that in an episode a few months ago, when people just throw that phrase out there, like, if he wanted to, he would. If he really loved you, he would do this for you. And it's like, well, clearly he does love you. He's shown you in so many ways that he loves you. You know, and you did ask him to put in more effort, and he has been putting in more effort. Now it's dwindling. If that bothers you, maybe it's time to open up the conversation again and come up with something that works. If he's really is this great guy, though, that's so attentive and puts the time and effort in to make you feel listened and cared for and all of that. Like, I just think this is so small and can just be talked through and worked through. And I think your friend is just reacting way too harshly. He sounds awesome from everything you just said. So I don't think this is something that can't just be talked about. I would just open up the conversation again, honestly.
Hello, Maddie. First things first, you have such a beautiful soul. Thank you for sharing it with us. That is very nice of you. Okay, so here we go. I'm 23 and officially started dating for the first time this year. He's amazing, and I'm so glad I waited to date someone I was truly in love with. Thing is, he's my first everything, and it's been hard to cope with the fact that I'm not his firsts. I know the past is in the past, and he never made me feel insecure about his feelings for me, but I sometimes just feel bad because I feel like I'm never going to be as special for him the way he is to me. It feels like it will always be an unbalance between us. I just catch myself thinking if he truly likes me, or if he loved someone from the past more, just constantly comparing myself with his exes. Any tips on how to focus on the present while dating? I know he had a life before me, but I get irrationally insecure anyways. Yeah, I hear you. I think I would just try to remember that just because someone came before you doesn't make them you. A phrase or sort of just like thought that goes through my head a lot is like, I'm sure they're great, but they're not me. If I'm dating someone and I like them and I think they're cool and hot and smart and whatever else, and they like me, so clearly they have great taste, I'm sure that their exes were great too. Maybe not all of them. Some people are shitty. But, you know, I think overall, I'm always like, I'm sure they were awesome. I'm sure your ex was great. She just wasn't me. You know? If you and I are meant to be together, if you and I are soulmates, we're endgame, we're together forever. Like, I hope that we had fun with our exes and that things were great and things were enjoyable and that we learned and we grew from those relationships and we can have love for the people in our past and like the good times that we had with each other. But at the end of the day, like, they're just not you. You know, I don't necessarily look back on the first person that I dated and hooked up with, and he's not special to me in any way. In fact, I think I hate him more than anybody else I've ever dated. So it's like, also, I don't think the like chronology of when things happen in our lives determines their importance or how special they are. I also don't think that we need to have just like one special impactful relationship in our life. I think we have relationships with people, we meet people in our lives that will have big impacts on us, and maybe we find out it doesn't work and we break up because we're not meant to be together forever. And we can still look back on like the fond moments and be like, it was what it was, or maybe not even the fond moments from the relationship, but we look back on the way somebody made us feel at the beginning, how in love we were, and we're like, that was so awesome to feel that way. Right? But you know how much more awesome it's going to feel when you're in love with someone that loves you back and you're in a healthy relationship and partnership that you can keep growing and building upon to infinity, just forever, and it just works. Everything that didn't work is going to pale in comparison to something that does. I'm sure everyone else was great. I'm very big on like, I'm never going to talk down about somebody that I'm seeing's exes. I wasn't always like this because I think when I was younger and I was way more insecure, it feels, I don't know, when you're insecure and you're having a moment where you don't feel like the most settled into your relationship, you might compare yourself to ex-girlfriends, or when you break up and you look at the new girlfriend, you have to bring her down and say shitty things about her. At the end of the day, I think all of that is like just insecurity and bitterness, and I don't think it's actually helpful to our hearts. So to me, I feel better believing that their exes are probably super cool. They're probably really hot and I would probably like them. You know, we might even be friends if we met in a different timeline. And I'll probably like the new girlfriend too. You know, I'm sure she's great. I'm sure these girls are wonderful. They're just not me. The person that I'm meant to be with in this life, at the end of it all, you know, right now I'm sure they're dating around. They've done a lot of stuff the same way that I've done a lot of stuff.
and I'm sure they're having a great time meeting cool people and learning through the process of it all. They're just not fucking me. You know? There's a lot of cool people out there. There's one Maddie fucking Drozbeck. I think there's enough room for us to all be cool and special and important. I think there's room in this life for us to have like multiple great loves that we learn a lot from and that change us into different, sometimes better versions of ourselves. But I think ultimately, like, all the things that didn't work for a reason. And instead of comparing yourself to all the things that didn't work, you need to boost yourself up a little bit. You are awesome. You are amazing. You are a great partner, and you're beautiful, and you're smart, and you're brilliant, and they love you for so many reasons. And it doesn't really matter who they were with in their past or what they felt in those past relationships, because they're with you now. And at the end of the day, those other people, they might have been great. They might have been wonderful, but they just weren't you. I'm endgame, baby. Yeah. It's like, it reminds me, every time I say that to myself, it reminds me of the ending scene in Gone Girl where she's like, I'm that cunt. I'm it, baby. You want a nice Midwestern girl? Da-da-da-da. I'm it. I know that's a wild comparison for me to make, but I just fucking love Gone Girl. The cool girl monologue is my Roman Empire, and that's the truth, babe. That's the fucking truth. I'm that cunt. Anyways, I would name this episode I'm That Cunt if I wouldn't get demonetized and immediately thrown in YouTube jail for it. Anyways, live, laugh, love. Thanks for hanging out of the sleepover. Love you guys so much. Again, I'm doing 30 outfits in 30 days over on my Instagram right now. So if you want to see me in some beautiful fall outfits, go check it out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for submitting. I'll talk to you guys next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.